So in many Middle Eastern cultures, it is the custom to give people, even strangers, more food than they can possibly consume in one meal. Guests are treated as beloved family members, and they are accorded even more privileges and honor than sometimes the very members of the family. I just lift up one example. Remember Abram and how those two strange men came into his camp one day, and he created a meal of 60 pounds of meat and the same amount of bread for each guest. I have trouble eating a quarter pounder. So that's Genesis, chapter 18, verse 1 to 8. You can read the story. It's an overwhelming, sumptuous banquet. Now, the reason I mention that is because if that happened to you or me, we would feel uncomfortable. It would be overwhelming. It would make us nervous because we immediately begin to think, oh, now I have to do that. I have to invite them back, and I have to create this same huge banquet, and how am I going to do that? And even though there was no such attitude among the hosts in Middle Eastern culture, it was not expected that you would be repaid in any way. Nevertheless, you and I still would have trouble trying to figure out how to say thank you. It makes us feel a little bit out of control. Or maybe, boy, I guess they think I'm not able to take care of myself. I can't provide for myself. So the reason, again, that I'm saying this is because to receive is one of the underlying themes in the readings today. I'm going to repeat that. We might say that learning to receive is one underlying theme in the readings today. So when we get to feeling like bragging a little bit, we can reread Paul's introduction there in the second letter to the Corinthians. He told them, many of them were not wise or powerful or noble. Nope, he said they were foolish, weak, lowly, and maybe irrelevant. Now, no one of us would ever write that about ourselves, especially in a resume. We wouldn't want to say anything like that. And yet, think about it for a moment. All those things that Paul listed off, Jesus says, are blessings. The very things that Paul says of his Corinthian friends, Jesus says, are blessings. So, if we want to understand the Beatitudes, then we have to see how they were reflected in the life of Jesus. So, Jesus said, blessed are the poor in spirit. Think of Paul talking about Christ as someone who emptied himself. It was about complete giving. Now, when Matthew uses the word poor, it has nothing to do with self-denigration. You know, woe is me, I'm no good, I'm nothing, I'm worthless. That's not at all what it has to do with. But a better interpretation is understanding that Christ, as Paul said, did not cling to his equality with God, but rather was obedient. So he was able to completely allow God to be the center of his life. And Jesus becomes a channel of God's lavish love. So this relationship with God then impels Jesus to be able to give everything that God desired to give all of us in creation. So that allowed Jesus to mourn with God over anything that prevents human growth, human goodness, human life. So Jesus mourned with the widows and with those who lost children. And Jesus mourned the loss of a friend. And Jesus mourned the cruelty of the Romans, who inflicted all kinds of persecution and spread terror and made that resulted in crushing poverty for most of the Israelites. But Jesus himself, since he lived in complete vulnerability, Jesus was able to mourn with anyone and all who suffered in any way. Now, this mourning led simultaneously to a terrific hunger and thirst for righteousness and justice. So that another word for all of that would be meekness, to have an even temperament. Meekness, never lose your cool in any situation. Again, look at Jesus. He seems very seldom to be upset with people. He becomes angry with evil, but never seems to blame or judge people. So that allows him to be tender and compassionate and free from feeling self-sufficient. Now, since Jesus had no need to be defensive, you know, to protect anything, that allowed him to express purity of heart. What you see is what you get. Carl Jung talks about the mask that we all wear to really protect our true identity. We project another image. Jesus never needed to do that. So he could encourage everyone to become what God had created all of us to be, to fulfill our potential. So these attitudes, beatitudes, endowed Jesus with extraordinary freedom. Think about that. Because of his energy, his mission, his very identity sprang from God, and he could be that channel of God's lavish love. I can't speak for you, but I can't begin to tell you how much of my life has been spent in telling people what to do. Be good. Obey the laws. Keep the rules. Do this. Don't do that. Don't even think about that, because if you do, you've already done it. Oh, my gosh. Remember when the young man, the wealthy young man, came up to Jesus and said, "Good master, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus said, "Why do you call me good? No one is good except God alone." So if we tell people to be good, if we tell people to be Jesus, it's like telling children, don't eat candy, don't eat chocolate, don't drink soda, don't enjoy popcorn, no ice cream ever, no cake. Well, it's not going to happen. I mean, we can try, but it's just not going to work. And here it is in a nutshell. Grace is a gift, not an accomplishment. I can't do it. You can't do it. But God can and does do it. So if we're telling people to be good, we're going down the wrong path. What we need to do is be full of the same love of God that filled Jesus. When that love fills us, then we have realized grace. Here it is. If we aspire to live as Jesus, we're headed down the wrong path. If we begin with efforts to better ourselves, that's only going to lead to thinking we're better than everyone else. We call that self-righteousness. So we need to nurture gratitude for and acceptance of the thoroughly undeserved gift and privilege of being created capable of loving. The more we dwell in awareness of our undeserved blessedness, the more we learn to humbly accept what we do not deserve, the more natural it will be for us to give lavishly with humble, compassionate, generous, and merciful love.